Hello, everybody. Today's passage comes from 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Again, that is 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And let me read that for us. After this, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." David said, "To which shall I go up?" And he said, "To Hebron." So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David brought up his men who were with him, everyone with his household, and they lived in the towns of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. When they told David, it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who buried Saul. David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, "May you be blessed by the Lord, because you showed this loyalty to Saul your Lord and buried him. Now may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you, and I will do good to you because you have done this thing. Now, therefore, let your hands be strong and be valiant, for Saul your Lord is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And he made him king over Gilead, and the Asherites, and Jezreel, and Ephraim, and Benjamin, and all Israel. Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. In previous chapters, we see that David had been, he'd been away from Israel for some time. He was in Philistine territory among the Philistines, hiding from King Saul, who was out to kill David. And in this period in David's life, he was in kind of a funk in his relationship with God. But after a series of devastating events, David ultimately comes back to God and asks for his direction. Now, in the chapter immediately before today's passage, David hears the news of the death of King Saul. And we see a reaction from David that is completely unexpected. News of the death of the person who was out to kill you would usually result in a reaction of joy and relief. But we saw in yesterday's devotional that David is actually deeply saddened and mourns the death of King Saul. And through this, we were able to see David's true humility that respected the anointed king of Israel that God had appointed, even despite all that happened between King Saul and David. In today's passage, we see more of that same humility in David, who is a man after God's heart. We see this already in the first verse, where David, after hearing the news of King Saul's death, asks the Lord if he should return to Judah. He doesn't make decisions on his own, but inquires the Lord for his instruction. And God is quick to respond and instructs David to go to the city of Hebron. And in the city of Hebron, he is greeted by men of Judah who anoint David as king over the house of Judah. David doesn't seize the throne for himself, but men of Judah come to him and anoint him as king. In the next couple of verses, David is notified of the people who buried King Saul. Honestly speaking, if I were to come across people who respected, obeyed, and buried the very person who was trying to get me killed, honestly, I would be very angry and vengeful and want nothing to do with them. I'd probably even want some of them to have harm come to them. But just like what we saw in the previous chapter, when David grieved the death of King Saul, we see here that David actually is now blessing these people who buried King Saul, and he's commending them for their loyalty to him. David also promises them that he will do good to them and encourages them to remain strong and valiant. All of this demonstrates David's humility and his patience. In the next section of our passage, we read about a son of King Saul named Ish-bosheth, who claims the throne to all of Israel besides Judah. And the one who instigates this is a commander of Saul's army named Abner, who is actually Saul's cousin, making Ish-bosheth his nephew. And Abner was likely the one who actually wanted to control Israel through his nephew, Ish-bosheth. But what's strange here in this passage is that in verse 10, we see that Ish-bosheth reigned for 2 years, meaning that David didn't take any action to retaliate or to seize the throne. Again, he shows remarkable humility and patience in remaining silent during this time, trusting that God would do what he pleases in his timing. So what do we learn from this passage? We learn that when we truly and genuinely trust in the Lord, as we see in the example of David, it produces humility and patience, which help us to be sober-minded in making decisions according to God's will. Since the end of 1 Samuel until now, there is clear evidence of this. As soon as David turns back to the Lord, back in 1 Samuel chapter 30, everything begins to align again, and David is able to live according to God's will. Previously, when David was in a time of confusion amongst the Philistines, we see David making strange decisions and acting not out of humility or patience, but rather in self-trust and impatience. But now we see a David who is renewed in God's grace, a David who trusts in the Lord, and now he is full of humility and patience, which leads him to greater things from God. One of which is being anointed king of Judah. I hope that we don't misunderstand this as be humble and patient so that good things happen to you. But rather, my hope is that we yearn for a greater and deeper trust in the Lord, which will lead us ultimately to humility and patience. One of the things that stood out most to me about David's humility and patience in this passage is that his first reaction to things was to ask God about them. He asked God what he should do, or in this case, where he should go. And when he heard an answer from God, he immediately obeyed. So my hope for us today is that we do just that. In humility and patience, let's ask God what he wants of us today and listen for his response. Maybe it has something to do with that coworker we've been thinking about evangelizing to. Maybe God is urging us to call our family members and encourage them in the Lord. Or maybe it's reaching out to that friend we've had a rocky relationship with recently. Whatever it may be, let's ask God for his instruction, and let's be humble and patient and eager to obey, because ultimately that's what gives us joy and life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this reminder of what it means to be your servant through the example of David. Lord, what a joy it is to inquire for your direction and listen for your voice. What a joy it is to obey you and act in humility and patience. What a joy it is to do all of these things in reverence and in awe of who you are. I pray that we would grow in our seeking of you in all aspects of our lives. And Lord, won't you show us the fruit that comes from being aligned to your will? God, you know all things, and you are in control of all things. We submit our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.